Yeah, I'd be honored. You know, the last couple times that this is not the real John Clinton, by the way. No. Nancy, I just want to inform you, you've probably got the real John Clinton locked in a closet at home, don't you? Don't let him out no more, because this guy's like a lot, he's crazy. Okay, you probably like that. The other one was boring.
Yeah.
Okay. This guy here, man, I'll tell you what, he dances, he's just on fire. I got to laugh because, you know, the last couple times he's ministered, you could just see a different anointing upon him, and you sit there and you go, wow, who is this guy, you know? But I thank God is when God begins to move on your heart, when you begin to run after God and the whole thing all years, you know, getting to know God. And you can see it in people. There's a difference about them. And there's definitely a difference about you, John, that we know that your heart has been following hard after Christ. So I appreciate it. I know everybody else appreciates it. And we're looking forward to you ministering the word. And he even told me that he now numbers all his pages. Oh, we're going to shuffle them up here. Because, you know, when you walk under the anointing, you walk in a new order. Amen? Is he a man of faith?
Thank you.
You know, Pastor John, he hides his notes because, you know, I come up here and mess with them. So, brother, we trust that you don't even need those. How many believe that he don't even need his notes this morning? There you go.
On another day.
You know, the congregation has spoken, you know. Congregation can't be wrong.
On another
Amen.
Day.
Poor John. We're going to pray for you, brother, because I know right now you're thinking, I need prayer.
Right.
Amen. Your wife's going, I love it. Keep picking on him. Keep picking on him. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks. And Lord, we don't need your notes written down. We have your word. And Lord, a man that seeks hard after your heart, they've laid up your word in their heart, Lord, so there's just a natural overflow. And we do pray that you put his notes back in order. And we pray, Father, that you anoint him this morning, that you continue your work in him. And Lord, as our hearts are prepared to receive the word that he's labored over, Father, bless this time, bless John, and touch our hearts to respond to it. We ask in Jesus' name, and we all said, amen.
Amen. God put this message on my heart a while ago, and then as I'm trying to put it together, it's like, okay, Lord, where are you? You know, sometimes you really just have to trust in the Spirit to do what God wants you to do. And and the funny thing is that, you know, we're up here talking this morning, and everything is really about what God gave me. And it's about increasing our influence. And we think about, you know, the things that we do in as a Christian, as a church, and as a people. You know, our whole purpose is to bring people to Christ. And in order to do that, we have to have confidence in who we are. And I don't want to get ahead of myself here, but we need to know, just as Anthony said, that, you know, when you go out to witness, sometimes you got to challenge yourself to get out there and do what God wants to do, because your flesh doesn't want to do it. My flesh doesn't want to be up here today. But my spirit does. My spirit wants to give you a word of God that will minister to your heart, that will change your heart, and hopefully help you just follow Christ in it. You know, we need to stop thinking about the things that we can and cannot do, and we need to bring ourselves to a place where we're going to challenge ourselves regardless of our failure, regardless of the things that we don't think we can do, and be strong in the word. So as God was showing me the power that we really have as individuals, and all that we really have to do is have confidence in who we are in Christ. And that's not easy. It wasn't easy for me. I mean, here I am over the years of ministering and being part of this church for, what, 30-some years? 35 years, 36 years maybe? I can't even remember the count, but... And eventually now here I am up here, instead of receiving the word, I'm sharing the word. Amen. And so it's something that I never saw myself doing and never really saw myself capable of doing it. But, you know, I've always challenged myself to go out above beyond what I feel. And my wife always tells me, she says, I don't know how you do that. You're terrified. You tell me you're nervous, and you still go up there, and you do it anyway. And see, that's the only way that I could grow. Because if I didn't challenge myself, I wasn't going to be able to be the man that God wants me to be. And I'm still in a process here, just like we all are. But it doesn't matter how old you get, because I think I've only been an elder for, 3 years, and I'm 66. So, you know, I mean, it took me a little bit of time to actually fall into line, you know. So, you know, there's nowhere. You can still become what God wants you to be. I don't care what your age is, because you're not done with your life until your life is over. Amen? So as I was studying on how we can become more influential in the world, I came across these scriptures in Acts 2. It says in Acts 2:22 through 24, it said, "Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourself know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him." Now, this was a new gospel to the Jews. This was something that they had never heard before. So, you know, it's going to be strange to the ears of those who we talk to, because they don't know the things of the Spirit. But the thing that I like here that Peter did is that in Acts, again, 2:29 through 36, he confirms the new with the old. And he says, "Fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah." Now this is David, okay? "That he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God had raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father and promised Holy Spirit has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet.' Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this: God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah." You know, this is a simple message. Peter told the crowd, basically, that Jesus was the Lord and Messiah. But his purpose of the message was that it was about God's purpose. It wasn't his. It was plan, and it was his purpose and plan for Jesus to be crucified and sacrificed for our sake. And that message, when delivered by the Holy Spirit, makes a difference in the receiving end. It makes a difference on how another person gets that message. Because we in ourselves are powerless without the Holy Spirit. And we all know that, of course. But the reality of the situation is this, is that we are all restricted by some form of understanding of our own thoughts of who we are and what we can do. And sometimes we hold back, and just like Anthony was talking about, in this maybe this fear of rejection or fear of saying something that's not so Christian or wasn't scriptural, that we're afraid to move out into the realm of challenging who we are, challenging our own thoughts of who we are, and accepting what God says we are or who we are. You know, it's important that we understand that there's a big difference there, because our thinking is only limited to the flesh. It's limited to the things that the flesh thinks it can do and can't do. It's not what we really can do, because through Christ and the Holy Spirit who strengthens us, we can do great things. We can bring, when you bring the love of God, when you bring the Holy Spirit, that love and that understanding, it changes a heart, just as it changed yours. And that is our influence, being confident that the Spirit can deliver the right message, even when we mess it up. You know, there's nobody here is going to be perfect. You know, there's going to be, when you talk to somebody, you know, it takes a little bit of restraint sometimes not to, you know, to say something that might offend them. But the fact is that our purpose is not to offend, but it is to change a heart. The Holy Spirit works with us or without us. And I guess, you know, I've shared this once before, but my encounter with the Holy Spirit, my first time, and you know, and I used to serve God when I was younger in church. I was an altar boy, and I was part of the youth ministry, and we went to the old people's homes. And I think that every church youth should do something related to serving what's out in the world, because that's a good experience for them, and it's a good experience for those who don't know the Lord. But you know, I did that, and then I got into growing up and into the world, and there really wasn't anybody that was telling me, except my grandmother said, "You're going to church," you know, and that was the reason I went to church every Sunday. But it was on her that she was concerned for my spiritual well-being, so she directed me. But what happened as I grew up, there was nobody there anymore to do that when my grandmother passed. So I kind of went on my own free will and did what every person flesh does. We enjoyed ourselves as much as we could. But until that day that I was driving down the expressway and the vision of the Lord just came in front of me while I was driving, and it broke my heart. It didn't change my life immediately, because I didn't really know what it meant. But it broke my heart, because I broke down crying and repenting, and I didn't even know what I was crying for. You know? That's what the Holy Spirit does. You know, my son had a very similar experience. And I remember when we went to the men's advance, the first time that we went there, he went there with me. And it was after our praise and worship, and we were sitting there praying, and I looked over to him, and he was like a jellyfish, right? We both, you know, when the Lord touches your heart, you just break down and you become a puddle of whatever. And so, you know, and it was the moment of life changing. Now, he had someone that was there that could help direct that. I didn't really have anybody at that time. So when I came a year later, I came to Downriver Christian Community Church. My wife and I, you know, we're popping in and out, and all of a sudden, you know, here we are trying a church that the Catholic Church in our background said you shouldn't be going there, because, you know, you're not going to go to heaven if you're not going to a Catholic church at the time. But anyway, so we came to the church, and you know, we found something that we didn't get before, but we also found what we thought, things that we thought were weird. You know, I mean, hey, when you're coming from a background that doesn't raise their hands and praise the Lord, and everybody's out there singing, you have a whole different perspective on what this church is all about, and you got me say, you know what is that tongue? Somebody's over here, little, you know. Now, you know, you're thinking, what the heck is that all about? You know, but the Holy Spirit had drawn me in, and then Pastor John and the pastor then at the time came to visit us at our house. I don't even know why, but it was something they did. But we were sitting there and talking, and it brought back to my memory the event that I had while I was driving to Indiana. And I didn't even finish on that story to Indiana. I mean, then when I got to, I think it was going down 69, I was changing stations after I had bawled my eyes out. Matter of fact, somebody who came by me probably thought that I had just lost a family member. That's how hard I was crying. I mean, it was unreal. Even to me thinking about it now, it was unreal for, that experience was unreal for me. But when I got there, I changed the channel, and wouldn't you know, the first channel that I hit was a Christian station. Now, that's not coincidence, people. That is not coincidence. So I'm in the car after I've just come out from under a broken heart, not realizing that's what it was, but now knowing what that was, it was my spirit repenting to God for everything that I had done. But, you know, there was no recounting of sin. It was all meshed into one act of sorrow and repentance. But the idea that right after that, here I am. I'm a guy who had never praised and worshiped out loud in my life. I mean, I was in choir. I mean, aside from that. But I never praised and worshiped the Lord out loud, and I was praising and worshiping like you wouldn't believe because of that change that happened at that moment, that there would be a difference in who I was. And I didn't know that that was just the beginning of my salvation. It took a whole year, by the way, before this whole thing came around and before we went to try another church. But it was because of that experience that I think that my spirit was even open to it. So I just wanted to say that because, you know, we ourselves can be part of the revelation of God to others, but some of us have had that experience just because God chose us. And I have to say, that's what God did to me. He chose me for some reason, and I'm thankful. And because of that, I praise God, and I love God. And because He saved me, I want everyone here to realize that there is a God who cares about you. You know, we can't grasp that in our own minds. We want to think things through. We want to give excuses to the reasons why God doesn't love us. And if you go through that whole thing, you lose your influence. And I want to get back to that point. You know, the Holy Spirit had influence over me. And because of that, hopefully, in some walk in my life, I've had some influence over some of you. And other people, as a matter of fact, I was just on the phone with a client. And we got to talking about some things, and it gave me an opportunity to ask them if I could pray for them. You know, I've done that so many times. And when God's got me in this insurance business, and I do this for a living, but, you know, the truth of the matter is that I look for the opportunities for God to be able to use me so that I can influence a heart, that I can change somebody's direction in their life, that I can give them hope where there's no hope. Can we take our minds off of ourselves enough? And I know that, you know, I'm not perfect in that. We all struggle with our flesh, and we all will until this flesh is gone. But the idea, it's a transition, it's a constant transition to the point where you no longer are thinking about who you are. You are now thinking about what can I do for my Savior because of what He's done for me. Amen. Without any knowledge or understanding, I had no influence, actually, within that year after I was actually touched by the Holy Spirit. I really didn't have any influence on anything because I really hadn't accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I had repented, but I hadn't said, Lord, You are my Savior, because I didn't really know what was going on. So, when I accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and the Holy Spirit came into my life, it has allowed me to have influence in my family and people around me, and, like I said, some of my clients. Acts 2:38-41, you know, when people were when they wanted to know exactly what they could do, Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Can you imagine? I was thinking about this. Where in the heck could Peter talk to more than 3,000 people and be heard? I mean, I need a microphone to get across to the back of the hall. You know, I mean, obviously he had a very strong voice, because it did say he lifted his voice. But the fact of the matter is that he shared this basic, simple message, and I call it basic, but it was a powerful message because the Holy Spirit was behind it. The Holy Spirit delivered that message to those 3,000 people who would accept the call. So when we think about one-on-one and we're having a hard time with one person, then you need to have a bigger picture. You know, in sales, they will tell you that you make 10 calls to get 3 appointments to get 1 sale. You know, make 10 calls to get 1 saved life. You know, if you get 1, then you're doing the Lord's work. Share the Lord with 10 people or 20, whatever it takes to get the 1. If you're more effective, maybe you'll be 1 out of 2. You know, think about that. But, and again, if you're effective, maybe you'll do 30 out of 100. And so forth. Whenever you get the opportunity to speak the word of God, that is your influence. You need to be confident in who God is. You need to know the love of God for you, so that you can share the love of God to them. And we need to get over the struggles of life. We need to realize that the eternity has been promised to us. So, you know, I don't know if it was on the news or something happened, but there was a gentleman who had died. And for, I don't know if it was 45 minutes, 30 or 45 minutes, he was dead, and he came back to life. Supposedly, he said that he was in heaven in those 45 minutes. And he, when he came back to life, he said, "I am looking forward to going back." We need to know that eternal life, that place that we've been given, the promise. And I don't know if that story is true or if it's not, but my point is that place that we have been promised is greater than this. It is greater than the place you are at now. We can only experience life the way life comes at us. And for some of us, that's not a very pleasant place, I have to admit. I mean, you know, when I was young, I didn't think life was so great. But, you know, as a man of God, I see life. I'm so blessed by family, by friends, by this church. And so by that, I have become more confident in who I am in Christ, which gives me the ability to stand up here when I'm my knees are... You can't see my knees, can you? But the thing is that it gives me the ability to stand up here and share the Word of God with you the way God is putting it in my heart. You know, it's important for us to realize that there is power by the Holy Spirit, and it's not in me. You know, even Paul said that when I am weak, I am strong. And I had Pastor John pray for me this morning, because I said, you know what, I don't know how this message is going to go, because I wasn't feeling well last night, and I really didn't get a chance to kind of really go through it as like I'd like to. I couldn't focus on it, and I was so distracted, but the thing of it is that I have to come up here and trust that the Holy Spirit will deliver the message to you. Amen. I can't do it in my own strength, even when my flesh is weak. You know, my spirit needs to be strong. And you know something, you may think, you know, it'd be nice if we could have a whole stadium filled with people where we could deliver the word and 3,000 or 4,000, 10,000 of them get saved. And, you know, that would be the quickest way to build a church, wouldn't it? And some of us may think it's harder today because we think people are, you know, more worldly, antichrist. But I'm going to tell you, you can't get more antichrist than people putting your Jesus on the cross. You know? In the time that Peter was delivering this message and these people receiving it, hearing it, this was right after Jesus was crucified. And 3,000 were saved because of it. In Acts 2:42-47, Peter gives an account of the change in the hearts of those who accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. It's titled The Fellowship of the Believers. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. I wanted to make that point. You know, this message was profound enough to change the hearts of all of these people, these 3,000, to make them come. But here, after they were saved, it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings. And it says they had everything in common. They became a people united in faith. And when we get down to the next paragraph, it's going to talk about the fact that even after the 3,000 were saved, that people were saved because of their gathering. But when we talk about that they had everything in common, they became united in their faith. Being united in the faith is one of our strongest assets, and it's something that every church, individual within the church, should really come to understand what it is that we believe. I know everybody who's a member here goes through the membership class, and you get a overall picture of what we are, who we are as a church, what we are seeking to do. And, you know, we want to influence, as Pastor John had said, we want to influence the world. We want not just to be a downriver Christian community church that's serving just downriver. We want to be a downriver Christian community church that's serving the world. Everywhere, because there's so many places to touch that we haven't touched yet. And some of you, hopefully, will become bold enough to overcome your fear of being in the mission field, and you'll go out and serve the Lord in a way just like that pastor that was in here is serving in a country when taking advantage of the opportunities to influence those souls. And we can look at the world the way it is, and we can say, who's ever going to change that? You know, you can look at it as though you are a huge ship with a small rudder and it's going to take forever, or you can have a small ship with a huge rudder and it can turn right around because you have the Holy Spirit. You have the power of God everywhere you go if you believe in who He is in you. And you can change a life everywhere. We must be united in our faith and in God and His Word, and we need to be able to interpret His Word according to His purpose, not change it to meet our purpose. You'll find that so many times, and matter of fact, even churches today have taken the Word of God and totally perverted it to accommodate. You know, who are we as people that can make a choice to change God's word? If our interpretation is wrong, look out. You know, if we're going to say one thing and God is saying something else, we better make sure that we've got that right. I mean, but we can deceive ourselves, can we not? You know, we can look at things in Scripture and we can say, I can do this. And look at, you know, when you look at the different types of things going on in the world right now, the permissiveness even within the churches to allow certain marriages to take place. You know, that those kinds of things are an abomination to God. But it doesn't mean we don't hate the people. We just hate the law. Understanding and being obedient to God's will opens up the power of the Spirit. In Acts 2, 45 through 47, it says, they sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. You know, if you look at us in this church here, you know, some of you, when I come to meetings, and there's some that I know that I can't always make, but I see common faces all the time. People who are hungry for the word. People who are dedicated themselves. And you know, you really, if you really wanted to, you could be at something in this church almost every day of the week. So we give you a great opportunity to build your faith, to build your understanding of the word so that you can be a greater influence when you step out these doors. And I'm not talking about, you know, being a Bible thumper or anything like that. You know, as a matter of fact, I'm probably getting a little ahead of myself, but I'm just going to jump there. It says it's in 2 Corinthians, let's see. Oh no, and 1 Corinthians 9:19. It says, "For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all that I might win the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, not being without law towards God, but under the law towards Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be a partaker of it with you." And what I like about this is that, you know, Paul didn't, he did not compromise the word, but he became whatever he needed to be so that he could win a soul. And sometimes we get a little bit more where we feel we have to defend the word. We have to, you're talking to some people who don't know the word of God at all. So when you're speaking to them, when you bring the word, when you speak just scripture, they don't understand that. You got to realize that scripture is understood by people who have the Spirit. And for people who don't have the Spirit, they will have a hard time discerning what you're saying. They just hear words. But when they see the love of you, when they see your passion for what you believe in, when they see how much you care for them and that you convey that to them, that they can, that their hearts can be changed because they see that you've been changed. And this is family members who, you know, that you've been trying to preach to for years, and you find that, hey, this preaching isn't working, so now maybe you turn around and you serve them in a greater way. And that's the language they need, because they need to see that you really care before they're going to accept what you really say. And so, you know, we need to realize that it's not just not throwing scripture out and telling people that they're going to hell and, you know, those kinds of things. It's conveying whatever the Spirit gives you in your heart. When you feel love of God for somebody else, you will also give that love to them in the way that God intends it, because the Holy Spirit will show you how to be an influence even to those people that you spent years trying to address and have gotten nowhere. When you change, they can change. Or you just pray. You know, there's nothing wrong with prayer. You know, prayer is a very, very strong tool that we have as Christians. Petitioning the Lord for everything. You know, as a matter of fact, we should have, everybody should be in some kind of prayer all the time, but as a group, as a church, being in prayer is even much stronger. And I say this all the time, but I would wish that our prayer meetings would be bigger than they are. They're growing, but it should be bigger. You know, when we are out in the world, we need to keep coming back to the source of Jesus. in every situation until our righteous response becomes autonomic. And what that means is that meaning that it is so ingrained in us that we do it without conscious control. In other words, when people are attacking you and people are challenging you and or you're trying to do something, you know, the first thing is that should well up into you instead of anger is the love of God for them. And if you practice that enough, I guarantee you, it will become part of your being. It will become part of who you are in Christ. And again, that's where your influence comes. When people who used to be able to rile you up can't do it anymore, you know, your husband and your wife, your children, you know, because those are usually the first things I've said before that, you know, if we can practice that at home, we'll be more successful in the world, you know. So it is something that we need to continually work with. We cannot do anything through our own power and have a godly influence. Our flesh will always try to get in the way. Our thinking will always try to get in the way. And the problem is that usually we justify the reasons for doing the wrong thing. So I've done it. So I can tell you, you're going to do it. And if you haven't done it already, you know, you will. But I'm sure you have. Everything must be done through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will also reveal God's purpose for us. When we operate in His purpose, we come with God's influential power, not ours. When you are confident in walking in your purpose, you will find yourself doing what you never thought you were capable of doing, or what you never thought you wanted to do. You want to go be a teacher? Some of you don't think you're good teachers, yet you have a gift of teaching. You just haven't accepted it yet. Okay? Some of you may not want to go on a mission field, Nancy. You know, I'm sorry. She can take it. But you know what? I would look forward to going down here and getting sick, but you know what? If your heart is going down here, if that's your heart, you know, you will do whatever it takes because you want to bring the gospel to those who are unsaved. And, you know, I can't even imagine what would it feel like if you went there and five or ten people that you spoke to eventually became pastors of a church or big leaders in that country, all because you were obedient to the word of God. You know, I know my son and daughter-in-law are big in ministry. They are willing to put themselves out. And I know, Laura, you've been to Bosnia and all those places, some Herzegovina, whatever those places are. And you know, we got Anthony, who's done a lot in the Muslim countries. But you know what? and that's, you know, that's risking, in some cases, risking your life for the Lord, because people in those countries, and some of them, especially if you're in a Muslim country, you know, they don't pretty much like Westerners very much. So you have to trust in God when you go to those things. And, you know, you could be very well risking your life, especially where Anthony was. I know that he had said that he was in Syria, I think, at one point, or one of those countries, Yemen, and it was a very dangerous place. But, you know what, one of the things I put down here is that never thought you were capable of doing Bob singing. Now, Bob, trust in God. Yeah. Anything can come out of that voice. Yeah, right. All things are possible, but not. But you know what? I'm sure that Peter and John would never think that they would be preaching to the Jewish leaders, high priests, and teachers of the law either. But look at their boldness and the effect they had on those that leadership. It says in Acts 4:13, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled. I wanted to repeat that, unschooled. If you think you need a college degree to preach the word, you just need, you know what, you can get a bigger degree by reading the Bible and understanding what the Spirit wants you to do that will change lives more than an education will. Not that you shouldn't get one, but I'm just saying. They were unschooled, ordinary men, and they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. So if you want to, now here you got two unschooled, ordinary men who are preaching to the people who are supposed to be holding the Word of God, teaching the Word of God. So we are just as capable as some of the apostles if we have turned our lives over to the Lord. We increase our influence with humility. And in 2 Corinthians 10, 12 through 13, and then 17 through 18, it says, we do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise. So when we make judgments about what we are, who we are, and how strong we are in Christ, then we are actually, in certain scriptures it says, we are stupid. We, however, will not boast beyond our proper limits, but will confine our boasting to the sphere of service God himself has assigned to us, a sphere that also includes you. But let the one who boasts boast in the Lord, for it is not the one who commends himself who is approved, but the one whom the Lord commends. So when we think that we have come of age in Christ is when we become most dangerous to ourselves. Because humility is the act that we need to perform at all times, regardless of the situation God puts us in. He is the only one that we need to be concerned about of what he thinks about us, not what somebody else thinks. We can build our position here. We can build our own little kingdom. And we can do it in false humility. We can do it with the Word of God. But you see how many major ministries have been toppled because of pride. We don't want to be there, church. We don't want to be someone who is taking the Word of God and using it for our own benefit. I'm going to finish with this. These are three statements I just wanted to state and make a point. See, we are to bring the word to others without compromise, but in a way that they can receive it. Amen. When we love, fellowship, and humbly serve, we will bring the influence of the Holy Spirit with us. And that is a treasure that saves a life for eternity. Amen. Prayer team, come forward immediately. Let's close in prayer. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you for all the things that you've done. Father, the power of your Spirit, Father, that can change this church. Father, I pray that this church become a strong center for many who are believers, Father, or even unbelievers, Father, that they will be able to come here and find refuge. Lord, I just ask, Father, that you just bless this prayer team. You bless this time and the word that was spoken here today, Father, that each person can take something back with them, Father God, that will help change their heart. And Father, I just pray that anyone who comes up for prayer, Father, that you just endow the prayer team, Father God, with an understanding beyond even their own capability, Father, to minister to all who are in need. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Your perfect love is casting out fear. are near, and I will fear no evil, for my God is with me. And if my God is with me, whom then shall I fear? Whom then shall I fear? And oh, to know you here on the earth, and I will feel